Blog Talk Radio.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Hello and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we're back a week after Easter, a couple of months after New Year's, and about 4 or 5 months after the scare, end of the world scare was going on.
Yeah.
And we are still here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, I had to say that, but hey, we're here.
You left out Christmas.
I know. I was going so fast. We're here after Christmas, Thanksgiving. It's all good. And I just wanted to know, it's like holidays are funny because, like, you have two holidays, a very different holidays, but you serve the same food. You serve turkey and both. So ham and both. So you think it would be different, like different foods. You know, like the African tradition, they serve like different foods and stuff. Like, this is why we eat this during, you know, awesome.
But
that's that. But, let's get started. And before I go off on a tangent.
Totally. So, scripture for today. As I'm out of town, you know, this is funny. A lot of us can relate to this somehow. Like, currently, right now, I'm out of town. I'm in Orlando, and this was actually a business trip. And looking at where I am now, I can really honestly say I did not get here on my own. I'm not strong because of things that I conjured up. So I want y'all to keep that in your mind. So the scripture comes from Psalms 119:60, verse 67, which says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word." The next scripture, just to close it up, "You are good," he's talking about God, "and do good. Teach me your statutes." So I say that to say this scripture, going with what I said, when I was afflicted, when I went through what I've went through, you know, being homeless and dealing with the attempted murder and dropping out of school and all this stuff that continues to just constantly happen in my life, it caused me to cling to God. But if I didn't go through what I went through, I can't honestly say that I would seek God as hard as I did. So a lot of times in our lives, it takes an affliction or it takes a breaking to really understand that you can't do this without God. And once you hit that submission point, then you start to see the goodness of God. And then you can boldly proclaim that, God, you are good. You do good. So what I'm saying is, be proud of your afflictions. Be proud of the trials and tribulations that have hit you and that you have made it through. This is where a lot of our power is, because if you look at what the psalmist is saying, I went astray before I was afflicted. So you telling me basically what he's saying is that when before all this stuff was going on, before I realized that I need God, man, I was doing me and I was in sin and it didn't really matter. But now that I got afflicted, now I'm on a path of righteousness. And it got to be something. He got to be something, because he made it in the Bible. He got a spot in the Bible. Real talk. And these are words that will be forever. These are words that go down forever. So this is what all I'm saying is that we need to be, you know, you went through this, I went through that, you went through this, but we made it through. Remember, I said went through. I didn't say we got held down by this. No, you went through this. You were afflicted. That's ED. But now, look where we are. So I am proud of my afflictions. I'm proud of what God has brought me through. For if he did not break me and I tried to stand on my own will, I wouldn't be where I am today. And likewise with all of you guys. So God is so good. So, you know, even if you're in your breaking point right now, if you're going through something right now, you're being afflicted right now, and you're just like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with God. I need you more. I need you more. That's beautiful. You're getting it now. Now watch how you come out. And then make sure you share your testimony. And most important, you remember what the psalmist said. He said, teach me your statutes. So now when God is bringing you through this, it's just so important to seek God more and to learn more of God. Because if God is over all, that's the one that you really want to be like. That's the one that you really want to focus on. You really want to learn his ways so you can be a conqueror of all the attacks, even if the attack is by your own mind.
Mm. Well,
and that's definitely what the scripture is.
Man, there you go. I mean, what else can you say? But amen.
Now, I was about to say amen.
Anyway, let me share a story. I took my daughters. We were on, they were in spring break this week. So we was going, you know, went to the park. And we went through this neighborhood I've never been through. And saw this building. I was like, well, of course, I've never been here. So I was like, what kind of, I've never seen that type of building before. What is that a church? And my daughter, she's five now.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no, that's not a church. And I was like, why do you say that? She said, it doesn't have a holy sign. I'm like, what's a holy sign? A cross.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought I'd share.
And that's
real. Yeah, she said, it doesn't have a holy sign. I'm like, what is, I've never heard that, a holy sign.
Mm.
A cross.
Mm.
Wow.
And for her to get the picture at such a young age is a beautiful thing.
Say that again.
For her to get the picture at such a young age is a really beautiful thing, man. I definitely applaud you and commend you on that. Because every time I see, like, these little kids and they know, they're like, Jesus, God, we love God. Like, little kids to be saying that and to be knowing it, even if they don't comprehend or have full understanding of what they're talking about, still, though, I say, you know, commend your children, congratulate them, you know, give them some kind of affirmation for that knowledge, because that truthfully is the wisest thing and is the best thing you're going to learn in your life. I had a discussion with this young man. I was, you know, counseling him earlier, not today, but earlier in the week. And his whole thing, he felt that because he lacked an education, that his success was not even going to exist. And that's a tough statement. My success does not exist because I don't have education. That's a very tough statement. That's very tough to believe. And he was like, I was telling him, like, that's not true. And he said, well, that's easy for you to say. You're educated. You went to college. And you got your AA. It's just easy for you to say. I'm not poetic lace. That's what he said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell my brother, to be honest with you, when my accolades really started coming in when I dropped out of school. Now, I'm not knocking anybody in school because education is important.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, to be honest with you, my accolades started coming in once I dropped out of school and I started pursuing the Lord with all my heart and not my own gain. Going even in deeper, some education is flawed. And this now hear me out before, you know, before anybody start cringing up. Some education is.
I was going to roll with you on this. I was going to be on the motorcycle.
Because some education is flawed. Because listen to this. The Big Bang Theory. We came from apes. And this world was just created from an explosion. And if you got this down pat, your IQ is plus 100 and something. Right? But my Bible tells me, God tells me that he created everything. He created all. And we didn't come from apes, we came from the dust, and he molded. So this is my belief. Now, because of what God has shown me, which is a fact, what God has shown me, the world is saying that's not true, it's a big bank that we came from apes. Your IQ is really at 0.0 because you believe this nonsense. my God is saying, no, you are wise and your IQ exceeds what they're telling you. So therefore, your education could be flawed if you believe in only the scientific, if you believe in theories and the Big Bang Theory and revolution, evolution. And this is what your belief is, but mine is on is the creator. I believe in creatism. So what are you saying? You know, that's what it's really come down to, that you can't put everything into these human-made books. When I say human-made books, it's like man's theory. You know, man was created as God. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're teaching us, that we are the gods of the world, and there's nothing outside of Earth. And there's, you know, if it ain't through the human mind, then it's impossible. And we came from an explosion, and there were apes that was walking along, and then an ape just started walking upright, and the opposable thumb started coming. Like, come on. Like, really, come on. So after talking to this young man about it, you know, his eyes were opened up in another way. Like, dang, like, that is real. Because in school they teach us this, but if I was to say something opposite that, and I, like, say, you know, A, B, and C. Man was, in 8 million years ago, man came from, and then the options A, apes, B, fish, C, God, D, the sky, and then you circle God. They'll put an X on your paper.
And the thing is, even, I mean, what you're saying is correct, because as far as, like the textbooks and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like history books and things of that nature, they
mm-hmm.
actually are based, whatever they vote on in Texas and Florida, not Texas, Florida, Texas and some parts of California,
mm-hmm.
whatever goes, they put the stuff in the books.
Mm.
So whatever they believe should go in the textbooks for all of America to know and to learn,
mm-hmm.
that's what goes.
And it's not what's up. And even,
yeah.
Let's take it deeper, if you don't mind.
No.
Let's take it deeper. Why is there two separate histories, Black history and history?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, real talk, like, there's American history, but Black history is outside of the American history. Now, I can understand American history and world history. You know, I took separate classes, I understand that. Black history is a part of American history because it just revolutionized the whole way the world, the American system turns.
Mm-hmm.
And you even see the movie. I'm excited about the movie 42, Jackie Robinson's story. I'm so excited about that.
I want to see that. I got to see that.
And to be honest, that is that's not Black history. That's history because it changed. Because the MLB has now Hispanics, African Americans, and I'm not even that strong on the term African American because we are here, we're Americans. But that's another story I'm not even gonna get into. It has so many nationalities. And it started off through, you know, with this man that broke a barrier, a huge barrier, huge barrier. That's American history.
Definitely.
So I definitely have a problem with that. If we go in deeper with that, why is that? And why is it that it's only 1 month? It should be 12 months. History, black, white, Hispanic, whatever the history is, it's all incorporated as one because it happened here in America,
mm-hmm.
a country, a land that was not found. It already existed. Native Americans were. That's another story. If you want to go in deep about it, because I've done my research on Christopher Columbus and everything and how that went. And Ponce de Leon and all that stuff.
With the African American, it's another. It's to me, it's just like, okay, let me say this tactfully. Pretty much, you know, it went from Negro to, you know, the N-R, the double G word.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But actually, it was double G-E-R. That's the way people say it now. But then it was colored. Then there's supposed to be some type of relief to be called African American.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is that, what's that is, why does there have to be a handle? Why does there have to be a label?
Right.
For, especially for those who were born within the United States.
Right,
now,
right.
If I was born in Africa,
yes,
and I moved to America, I'm one of the African-Americans. I'm in an African-American community, the African-American population.
Correct.
But if I was born and raised, not just raised, but born in America, that means I am an American.
Yes.
As simple as that.
Yes.
A lot of people say we died for that title. No. We died. There's a lot of battles. The war was for equal rights. The
yes.
battle wasn't for the name, okay, itself. Yes, we didn't want to be called colored, okay, or the other word. But however, I don't think it polishes up everything because you call me African-American. It's just to say, oh, man, okay, we can't just call them American. They're just not American.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, if you trace my roots, I'm more Caribbean because my ancestors, like my grandmother was born in Muskrat, which is a Caribbean island.
Mm-hmm.
West Indian island. So I'm more West Indian. And then my grandfather was born in the Bahamas.
Mm.
So there's, you know, so we're going to go by labels. I am more West Indian than African American.
Mm.
But because I was born in the United States, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, found a hospital. And that's within, let me see, Detroit is in Michigan. And Michigan is part of Midwest, which is in part, Midwest is a part of the United States of America, guys. Yay! So that makes me American.
Mm.
You know?
And that's real talk. I spoke to this man in Germany, and he, no, not in Germany. I spoke to him in Miami, but he's from Germany. And he was kind of mad at how he was like, here in Germany, you being black and me being white, we're both still German. Why is it that I'm here? You're African American, but have you ever been to Africa lately? I'm like, no, I haven't been. Then why are you African American? Like, if you were in Germany right now, you would be German, regardless of your color. You'd be a black German.
Right.
And, you know, from that day forward, it kind of changed my mindset as far as like African American. Like, I know he's cool, but he has a point.
Yeah, I've had people like, what? What do you mean?
And he, listen though, this is what's so funny. And he was talking about, he said, well, why is it that everybody else has a title except white people? And I thought about it, and I was like, dang, so what if I called them European Americans? Would it be a problem? Because they're not Native Americans. They're not Native.
No.
They're called Caucasians, though. Why aren't they called European Americans like we're called African Americans? So it's it is definitely a deep conversation. It's definitely a problem when you voice out your opinion like that.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting it in here on the Cover of the Cafe. I just want to let you guys know. And this is side of February, which is outside of Black History Month. So we still give you a history lesson here on the Cover of the Cafe. As well as pieces of the word, morsels. Stuff that you can take away and go home and turn the radio off after you get done listening. Like, man, they was talking about some deep stuff on that show, man. Them dudes are dope. But anyway, so let's move on. We're going to move on. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, we have our segment of our news. What's going on in the world? Okay, that is part of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
But, however, what did you conjure up? What's recently been on your mind or in the news?
It's so funny. I promise you, I didn't even think about starting the show off talking about race and everything like that. But it's actually a good prelude into the news. So for starters, the Native American mascots, is it pride or prejudice? Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the Redskins. So recently you have a group of Native Americans, since they want to place it that way, who's come for it, and they're actually pissed about the R word. And the way how they're saying it, they're saying the R word is as deep as the N word. So can you imagine a team being called, so you have the Washington Redskins, it's the R word, it's a curse word, no, not a curse word, but, you know, it's not a positive word. So can you imagine the Los Angeles niggas? Real talk.
Yeah.
It's a problem. This is how they're feeling it. So how are you? What are you thinking? What do you have to say about their outrage and they want change?
Okay. First of all, this is how I feel about them keep continuing using the That's how I feel about that. I really don't like them using that. I mean, really. And I really, really like to get... I applaud you guys for standing up for that because somebody needs to stop it.
Mm,
I mean,
that is
it's not fair at all. I don't think it's fair at all. And I believe my thing is okay. I'm about to play devil's advocate. I believe like if no one has ever stood up for it. And that's ever said anything, okay, what can you do? You know, maybe you could look at it like, okay, well, maybe they are mine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a community constantly raising fuss about it, why is he trying to keep the name?
True.
Why?
True.
Let me use, for example, the WWF Wrestling World Wrestling Federation. That's
mm-hmm.
where I grew up on.
Me too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the World Wildlife Federation. I think that's what it's called. They had it first. Okay. And they didn't really appreciate them having that. So what the WWF did, they said, okay, cool. We're not going to be a WWF anymore. We're the WWE. Simple. Change it. No one stopped watching the WWF because they went from WWF to the WWE. As a matter of fact, they have more fans now.
Yeah,
it's
true,
World
true.
Wrestling, World Wrestling Entertainment or whatever WWE stands for now. So you didn't lose anybody. Now for Washington, okay, you guys know there's a problem. You know it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it again. You know it's a problem.
True.
But you continue to keep it. You're not going to lose anybody because they're fans. They're fans.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, they're fans.
Right.
So,
right.
Therefore, you can even make it more interactive. Let's make a competition out of it. The winner, whoever renames this team, win $1 million in a season pass, you know, season tickets for maybe a year or two. Boom. Now you got everybody involved that's really diehard fans that loves Washington's team, that loves football in itself. No one's going to stop watching the NFL because of it. You know what I mean? Because you have people that's been fans for years. I mean,
right.
years. So they're going to be like, well, you know, it is. And then, on top of that, people can make money off of their paraphernalia, their souvenirs, because if there's a name change, if these items have been kept in mint condition.
Correct.
They're collector's items.
Right, right.
No one's going to lose.
I guess you have your fans out there that's more so concerned about, okay, the paraphernalia they already bought, all of them. The merchandise, everything that they already own that currently says Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I spent all this money for this. I'm not throwing away. And then you have some other people that's coming forward like, well, they should have been spoke up. Why is there a big deal now? So this is the devil's advocate of why the name shouldn't change. I totally agree. I totally agree with you because that's like if it was a team like I'm in Jacksonville, the Jacksonville Satans. I'd be pissed. Like, no.
I
don't care about your brand. This is offensive to me living here. You know, outside of it being the N-word. You know what I'm saying?
Also, along with the Redskins, with Native Americans,
Right.
Okay, this is my home. This is
so I think they would want the logo. They would want the logo changes too, changed as well.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you have. I mean, it's like they shove these guys, this community, the natives into a box. I mean, you put them on a reservation. Okay, this. Okay, we're taking over, and this is where you can live.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it called a reservation?
Mm, true.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, this is my house. And then you come in and say, look, dude, I'm in here. You can only live upstairs. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really? And that's it? You know?
Yeah.
But I think it's insane that they won't, you know, change the name. I mean, but like I said, but it goes back to what I started saying. If no one has ever said anything,
right.
Although, yes, it's wrong, 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
If no one's saying anything, okay, well, maybe, you know, they're excited about it. Maybe, you know, whatever. You know, maybe it's whatever the situation may be. But because this has been going on for years, and they haven't changed. I think they need to change it. Bottom line, go ahead and change it and move on.
I agree.
What's the fuss? Okay, let's go ahead, because, you know, I can talk about this for the next 2 hours.
Well, if anybody in the audience does have something to say or you want to voice your opinion, feel free to call us at 718-766-4553. Again, 718-766-4553. Because, I mean, it's definitely a juicy topic.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely a juicy topic. Well, we can move on because I understand.
What's next on the plate?
So moving in, I found this to be really appealing to me. So it's a new tradition going on in Georgia for the students down there in high school. They are going to have their first racially integrated prom.
Wow.
It is amazing. It's 2013. Like, even my girlfriend. Crazy, right?
Wow.
And you have so many students that are voicing their opinion. The students are more so happy about it. They're trying to figure out why are they just now stepping into this. Because their friends, like, the schools are already integrated. So you have whites and blacks, Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and da-da-da-da-da all going to one school. They're best friends. They're mingling. Everything's cool. But when it came down to prom around this time every year, they have a white prom and a black prom. As simple as that. So this is a big step for that community, even though it is the slowest step I've ever heard of next to Turtle. But it's a good move. So definitely kudos to them, and that is some news that definitely needs to be shared.
Wow. That's outstanding that that's happening, but wow, that is just now happening.
Exactly. Because I know when I first saw it, I'm, what?
Well, I first played at church about a year ago, well, I mean a year or 2 years ago, that stopped the black wedding. They didn't want to have a black wedding in their church, an integrated, interracial wedding in their church.
I've heard, yeah, did we cover that before?
Yeah, we covered that. Well, maybe it's not 2 years, it was a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I've heard of churches, too, where if the pastor, say it's a black pastor and he's married to a white woman, he has no backing. They don't support it. It's one of my brothers, my friends, he said his homeboy, you know, he's a black pastor, and he's scared to go for it. Like, he does all his stuff, really, through conference calls and online, like Facebook and Twitter and stuff, because he has a white girlfriend and he still hasn't even told his parents. Well, he has a white baby mom, and he's considering marrying her, and he still hasn't told his parents yet.
Wow.
Yet he's a minister. So it is tough, like, as far as being a leader, the scrutiny and the problems of mixing with other people that you call, what that they call, the wrong crowd.
That's insane. It's insane, people.
Hey, moving on, we're not the only proud people in the world that's dealing with same-sex marriage and having it being a debate. In France, it's really a big discussion right now. They're thinking about adopting the same-sex marriage rules, thinking that it should be okay. So you got the cap, but the issue is the Catholic Church has become a major opposition for them, the Roman Catholic Church at that. So y'all know my stand. I feel like France needs to go ahead and be strong and not allow same-sex marriage. I'm just not for it at all, period. Like, not just on the biblical level, mostly on the biblical level, but also let's think about it like this. All right, if it's, instead of the United States, it's like 10 people here. It's 5 men and 5 women. So you would think, okay, everybody can reproduce. But let's say everybody's gay. 5 men, 5 women, everybody's gay. And all the guys are with the guys and all the girls are with the girls. Then that means we'll have no kids, there'll be no offspring, there'll be nothing. Like, we cannot reproduce, nor can we really multiply on this earth if we stick with our same sex. That's just a little basic. But if we were to take it biblical, how God finds that abomination, I'd probably get a lot of phone calls right now.
Man, I'm going to just say this, though.
You remember how the last time.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to say it like this. One of the problems I have outside of, you know, the reproduction is, like, they're trying to treat it like the same thing as what, you know, blacks went through with you know, whites in the 60s.
Yeah.
I think that's my biggest problem, because right now you're trying to justify what's going on.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not the same, because number one, you don't have to drink out of a separate fountain.
Right.
You don't have to use a separate bathroom. You don't have to sit anywhere different on a bus. As a matter of fact, nowadays you're more accepted than blacks were accepted in the 60s.
Mm. True.
So you're not being water holes.
Right.
I'm just going to go down the line. You're not being water holes.
Please do.
You know what I mean? No one's throwing you in jail for no apparent reason. Okay. No one's really looking at you funny because it seems to be trendy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It seems to be cool. You go on Facebook, you see girls hugging girls. You see girls hugging girls more than you see guys hugging guys. But however, it's more accepted. You know what
right.
I mean? It's more people say, hey, that's just what they do. They didn't say that when we was coming up. I mean, not when we were coming up, but like our grandparents, it wasn't like that's what
right.
they do.
Right.
You know, if you spoke to, I mean, let's go to Emmett Till. He spoke to a little boy, went to the store, was buying candy. His cousins dared him to speak to a white female. Guy went in there. He spoke to the young lady, and he ended up getting yanked out of his grandfather's house that evening. Well, I'm thinking of his grandfather's uncles. But however, he got yanked out of the house, and they demolished this kid for speaking to. Do y'all understand this? For speaking. And he's a child. Speaking to a white person. He was killed. Not just killed. I mean, they did all kinds of stuff to this kid. And he wasn't just the one. Black people were hung even if they thought she was looking at a white female. Okay? Or if they just wanted to, they saw you, and just for giggles, like the S word in front of that is kind of crazy, but however, just for the fun of it, they was hanging black people. I have nothing not to say they should, but I have not seen this happen to any person that's gay, that's homosexual, whichever is the correct pronoun. I don't want to offend anyone.
Right.
But that hasn't happened. You haven't seen anyone that's hanging by a rope. You know, drugged by a chain, water hose. So you cannot compare that behavior to segregation. I think, not to say to go on beyond the Bible, but I want to kind of say that. For the reason why I'm saying that, because a lot of people don't understand the Bible, okay? So this is in layman terms. Scripture comes first and then this. None of that happened to the gays, homosexual, which is the correct term. So you can't really compare that to segregation. You cannot compare that to the civil rights battle. You know, so I think a lot of people are using that to receive sympathy from people because, oh, well, if they feel like they're, you know, segregated, then But like you said, in the Bible, we're supposed to reproduce. We can't reproduce. If five of us are male, we can't reproduce. If it's five females, they can't reproduce. So right there, you're bringing down the census and whichever that person, he or she, lives in.
Right.
You know? It's going to change the game up in the long run. Not this year, next year, but I would say the next 50 to 60 years, it's going to be crazy. And then you have to look at the kids. Women are still, although they say, you know, I like another female, they still are nurturing creatures. So they still going to want kids.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So therefore you say, okay, I'm going to adopt. Now, little Johnny and little Susie goes to school. And kids are brutally honest, honest. So they're going to be like, hey, my dad took me to the movies, or my father took me here, or my mom took me here. What did you guys do? I don't have a dad. I have two moms. Or I don't have a mom. I have two dads. If you have two dads, what do you mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? So now this kid may not want to say stuff. Now this kid is secluded from us. It's a trickling effect. You know, I mean, I remember it was taboo when I was coming up. And
right,
if you saw someone the same sex, whether it was two girls or two guys, like, oh, that's nasty. What in the world? What you guys doing? But now it's just like, hey, it's there. I mean, just like interracial marriages, it's there now. It's like, oh, okay. That's who you like?
Yeah.
If that's who you like, if that's who cares for you, so be it. And it doesn't have to be just white and black. It could be black and Puerto Rican. It could be white and Puerto Rican. It could be Puerto Rican and Chinese. You know what I mean? It don't have to be as specifically black and white. Interracial marriages is regardless of color.
Right.
And people forget that. I'm done. I get to get off my soapbox, man.
Since you say that, well, what is your opinion towards interracial marriages?
Me personally, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it because bottom line is, if a person is going to care for you, love you in the same way that you are looking for, then it shouldn't be a problem. But if there's a problem, whether it's black and white, because you're gonna have good relationships with black and, you know, black on black, white on white, Puerto Rican on Puerto Rican, whatever. You have bad relationships. You have good relationships mixed. You can have bad relationships mixed. So, you know, as long as that person, hey, is going to care for you, it shouldn't matter.
I agree.
Bottom line. But like I said, I feel offended when people say that other such, gay rights are the same as, you know, people, how blacks were treated in the 60s. I think that's offensive. That's really offensive to me. I mean, you guys have your own plight. You can't compare it. You can't, And I agree. You do have a fight. And you do have a struggle, but it's not the same mm-hmm. struggle.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because even today, we are. I mean, just like what you're saying, they're just not having a black integrated prom.
Right.
2013. We are still having fun like that. President Barack Obama is still is the first black president as of 2008.
Right.
All those presidents, 45, was it 44? He's the 44. So 43 presidents. Only one qualified out of 43. Yeah, you know, Jesse Jackson, man.
Right.
You know. He ran twice. He won. He lost by a landslide the second time, but it wasn't even close in the first time. But still, I mean,
right.
you're saying there's only one person that qualified, and then if you want to dig deeper, he's just happened to be a light-skinned black person.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If you want to go as skin color. You know, he was mixed. You know, his mom was white and his dad was black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now there's an ongoing argument to say, hey, if Barack, you know, for the president was darker, would he have been elected?
Mm.
I don't think so.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because people are still focused on color, and if you take it. If you peel that color onion, and as you continue to peel those layers, he is a light skinned. He's light skinned, so it's like we have him. Okay, he's in there. Number one, he is very educated. Number two, I believe, and I say this wholeheartedly, I believe that this election proved to me that people are ready for change.
Yes.
Because I'm not taking anything from the president. He's very, very, I mean, I enjoy seeing him, hearing him speak. I've saw him speak a couple times in person. One time in person. I'm sorry, excuse me, one time. But however, the first time he went against McCain. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the 70-plus-year-old war vet. They didn't really have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing he talked about was war. You know what I mean? And a lot of Republicans wasn't really behind him, seriously. So it was like either we get this black guy in here or we got this guy who's going to really destroy the country.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So he ended up winning. He won. Now, like I said, I'm not saying Mitt Romney was the best candidate for the Republican Party, but however, it proved to me that because he beat Mitt, Mitt had that smooth appeal to the rich population.
Right.
He had money. I mean, he had a lot of pull. He had a very clean look, and he had a very persuasive speech no matter where he went, even though a lot of issues that he flip-flopped on, if you watched them, but it was very persuasive. You still, if you weren't really paying attention to the election, you can easily have voted for Mitt Romney.
Right.
I say that hands down. It wouldn't have happened with McCain. You know, but with Mitt Romney, he's that character, man. Okay, I can go to Ohio and tell these guys this, but then I can go to the very next state, Michigan, and tell these guys over here this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But because of President Obama's talent, his skill level, he was able, and also people are really, really ready for a change. That's how that came about. And I think, like, a lot of people say we need to have like all Democrat, you know, Congress, you know, a Democrat for president, a Democrat for Congress. I don't think that should happen. Because you kind of need, I think you need a checks and balances type deal.
Right, right.
You know, vice versa. I don't think you need a Republican president and a Republican Congress. You need a checks and balances because if you're on my side, if you're going to back, and that's the way they do, which is really crazy because no matter if a person is right or wrong, they're going to back them because of their party. But however, that goes for both. I'm not saying for just Republican. It goes for Democrats too. If it's wrong,
right,
it's
right,
wrong.
Right.
And if you're right, you're right. So if I'm saying, yo, man, look, man, let's do this. We both artists. We both want money. Let's go this. Let's go stick this place up. You know, you with me, okay? And then we're going to smack the old lady in the front. We're going to knock her down. We'll get this money, and then we're going to spend it. That's absolutely wrong, okay? But because you say, hey, I like you, you're cool, we're on the same team, we're the same ratio, I back you 100%, that's wrong. But if you are a person that you are, or not, if you are the person that you are, so if I come to Florida and I say, hey, man, I need some money, let's go stick this bank up, you're going to say, what you mean stick this bank up? I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? So that's
right.
You know what I mean? That's the checks and balances. You're going to tell me no. So I need to work harder to find somebody that's going to be on my team. And that's the way it is with these policies and stuff. They need to work harder at passing the policies instead of just, okay, this is what we're going to do. Oh, you're on my squad? Okay, let's pass. And you don't even know what's in there. You know, so... But that's my view. So I'm just going to stop it there. But yeah,
that was good stuff. It needed to be talked about.
Yeah. So what I would like to do? Actually, you probably got another piece of information. You have any more?
And I do. I do have one more piece because you know, since we keep it so real and we're talking about sneaker things, I have two pieces. One piece we just going to slide right over because it's just information, but it's one more discussion. So I'll just slide over this one. So word is that North Korea is possibly getting ready to test out a missile. As you know, the story is more detailed than how I'm just going over the surface, but this is just an update as far as this war between the North and South Korea area and us participating as well as on the side with South Korea. It's just interesting. But I just want to throw that out there. But this is the last little topic of the current events, world news part. How do you feel? So people are coming forward in anger due to the fact that knives are going to be permitted on airplanes.
Oh, man.
This is a tough topic. It's a very tough decision because, of course, we have been paranoid since the 9/11 events. And the security has upended. And then we got gun issues down on the ground, which has caused more of a paranoia. So now they're thinking is allowing blades shorter than 2.36 inches in length and no wider than half an inch to be carried onto flights.
Okay, bottom line. Check this out. If they stuck up the pilot and everyone else with box cutters. Wait, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, really?
Yeah.
So we go, what's this, 2013. That's 12 years? Am I correct on my quick numbers? 10, that's 12, 12 years of paranoia, of flying, people scared to fly because they have box cutters. But now you're going to allow knives? Really? Come on. I'm not gonna even dig into that. That's just plain foolish.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's foolish. If I could stick you up with a box cutter, what? I mean, come on, like a army knife got multiple ends, like I got a sharp bottle opener and a cork and a knife all on one. Come on, man. Really? come on, man. Let's get with the program.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I was almost saying it's like a setup again. And then it's gonna happen. It's like, why did you let them on anyway? So like, come on. I mean, the airlines itself, they're going for it. It's their suggestion. So I can see if it was an outside source saying, hey, y'all should let this happen. But this is something that's happening to you as an airline. So why would you let, man? But I did hear this. That they're allowing this to happen because they have other things to worry about, like bombs, the bombs that go in your shoes and stuff like that. So my thing is, it's almost, to me, real brief, it's almost like you can't beat them, join them. You know, okay. At the same time, I think it's wrong. I mean, like, if I'm looking for bombs, I'm looking for everything to keep the plane safe.
Right.
Well, I can
understand, you know, the people are sliding in with bombs in their shoes and we can't detect it. And, you know, okay, I understand. I hear what you're saying. But this is my thing about it. If anything, I don't think that people, as far as passengers, should be allowed to, they should be permitted to bring any kind of weapon. There should be at least one or two designated marshals on every flight. That's their paid job, like a security guard. That's what they're paid to do, they're trained to do. They have a weapon, they're trained to disable or to handle anybody or to disarm any kind of terrorist, quote-unquote, offender. Somebody that's trained for that. I mean, I would just think it, period. Like, if you've ever been in a taxi, a lot of taxi drivers, whether y'all know it or not, they're strapped. They got peace under the seat, possibly. You know what I mean? Police officers are strapped whenever they go to an event or if they're in a courtroom. I've been in courtrooms and I've been outside of courtrooms, and every time I've seen a police officer, they're strapped. You know what I mean? They're trained in just in case something pops off. So my whole thing is about this. If it's even in the air, there should be somebody trained and strapped and no more than that.
Well, there is.
They
have air marshals, but
right.
I mean, there's not air marshals on every flight. And it's so funny because, like, back in the day, after 9/11, I did want to become an air marshal. I was like, yeah, I should. I was like, well, I don't like flying, so why would I come to an air marshal? I was like, man, trouble on the plane? Man, sit down. I don't feel like getting up right now.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I get all sick and stuff, man. Just put the bias color down, man. Just say, hey, I'll tell you what, take me hostage in the back so we can just sit down and talk about this because my stomach. But no, I mean.
I think for at least every flight then. Every flight. Because, like, it seems like it would be a greater danger. It's a greater danger having all these people, because then you got people who aren't trained getting box cutters. People, I've seen, you got somebody who I know, Plexico Burris, if I'm saying his name correctly.
Yeah.
That shot himself in the leg in the club.
Yeah.
You got, so if somebody can do that, I can only imagine what somebody doing a plane, like, say if it's just an accidental scare. Like, I was watching Due Date yesterday, and in Due Date, they was on a plane, and it was something that he started raising his voice, but he wasn't no terrorist, he wasn't a threat. Yet people started panicking, and the air marshal handled him and everything like that. But can you imagine, say, in real life, there's an accidental, somebody raised their voice because somebody stepped in their toe. Now, you got people tripping up. I take one person and yell, terrorist. And then you got somebody sitting next to him, and he pull out his blade, and he stabs him when the dude would have just chilling. Like, it's just, I honestly would not feel comfortable with everybody on the plane strapped, and I know that everybody on this plane is not trained in weaponry. Period.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's. I mean, I think they need to treat U.S. They're going to need to go ahead and pay that money and put a U.S. Marshal on every flight. I know you can't probably fund two, but every flight, and there's a lot of flights. But also, you need to treat these flights like buildings because, like, every federal building has guards, right? So you need to treat the planes like every like a federal building. I mean, it's going to hit a U.S. Marshal. I mean, you're going to protect the president. You're going to protect Congress. You protect the reserves. I mean, even like when you go to D.C., there are certain areas that you cannot park in front of. Because if you park in front of, they'll tell you, hey, you got to keep moving. There would be someone to come out and tell you, hey, you got to keep moving.
Right.
They just need to go ahead and fund the U.S. Marshals and put one, at least one, if you can't do two, but at least one U.S. Marshal on every flight.
Yeah.
Somehow. I believe it can be done.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, okay, where is this scare coming from? Did something recently happen? Was there a recent threat? Just throwing that out there. Because, like, all of a sudden, yeah, you know what? I think we need to have everybody, we should allow knives. But this is the limit. You know, where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So I can almost slip into the, not even slip into it, because I know there's a lot of conspiracies and things that happen, but, yeah, come on. Okay, what's really going on? Or what are y'all distracting us from?
Yeah. Is it
something
Korea joint? Is it that?
You know.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. But, all right, let's get into that 2103. Remember that? Incredible. Y'all remember that when these guys called? Man, hey, we're going to go into an incredible song. And guess what we're going to do when we come back? We're going to come up with some weird news. Because I definitely have some weird news. Guys won the lottery, and he won. I'm gonna put it like this: this gentleman won a lottery. He won some money, and he didn't want to move out of this place. I'm gonna tell you more about that after the song. Incredible. Here on the Coming to Cafe, this is your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Face.
So incredible, so incredible to me. Get here, how do I stay, when it ends, what will you say, engulfed in the fire, submerged by the flood, I'm nestled in your love, that's so incredible.
ladies and gentlemen, that was incredible. 2103, 2103. Hmm. So what we're gonna do? We're gonna get into the. Oh wait, hold on. Someone's at the door. Thank you. It was a guy jumping off the Weird News Report. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We're going to start off with a very nice story, interesting story. Not, I have to say interesting. Homeless man wins lottery but wants to stay in his tent. Mr. Dennis Mahirin has been homeless since around 1978, living in his tent. And he plans to stay there despite of having won $50,000 in the lottery. Off a scratch-off ticket. He said, I scratched it off right here in my tent. However, the Bloomington, Indiana native does have a plan for how he'll spend the money. For dental work, visiting his son, and putting some of the winnings into savings. He also was considering an upgrade to a new tent. It says he's... I'm just saying, this is what he says. It's an upgrade to a new tent. He says he's happy as he can be in my nature, with no desire to move into a traditional home. After taxes, he'll take home about $35,000. A jackpot total that relatively small would not normally make international headlines, but he plans to give away some of his cash that has roused some of the attention. With all the other homeless people around here, I've made up my mind. I'm going to give them each $100. Wow. He says he has eight fellow homeless men in mind that he plans to give $100 to, but he jokingly says he is leaving open the possibility of donating more with all the new friends he's likely to make as his story spreads. Tales of generosity are not uncommon when it comes to freshly minted lottery winners, but his truly humble lifestyle and his insistence on sharing the relatively small lottery winnings reflects his kind spirit, according to the locals who know him. He's a very, very nice guy. He's one of the sweetest people I ever met, said Emery Cross, an employee at the Circle K where he won his ticket. I've been telling everybody that this could happen to couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. So
this is what's real about it, though. Now, I really consider this. If you've been homeless, you've been living in a tent for so long, you've been making it. As a matter of fact, you're really not stressful because you have no bills, no light bill, no nothing to worry about. There's power of the street. If somebody's street light power went out, you just be like, oh, cool. Well, you know, it is what it is. Somebody ain't paid the bill. Cool. Yeah. So like they say, more money, more problems. So once you advance, say if he decided to get a luxurious apartment and, you know, stuff like that, now you have problems because of bills and, you know, all this and that. So it's funny, but truly, I get it ain't a bad idea to stay in a tent, get a nicer tent.
I don't disagree with him. I'm with you 100%. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But a simple fact is, number one, he only received $35,000. Not to say only, but he
right.
received $35,000 after the taxes. So that's only 1 year's salary for pretty much 1 year's salary for a job that you may be working $15 an hour, maybe. Let's say, I guess, I don't know, I'm just doing quick math. I guess somewhere in that area.
Right.
Number one, I think he's not freshly. He's not freshly homeless, so he really don't have a handle on what's going on. Number two, that money won't last. Okay, let's say if he paid up a year. So he's not going to go get a job, apparently, for his mindset. I'm not trying to, you know, be disrespectful, but, I mean, that's what he's content with. So, therefore, why put it into a house for an apartment for a year and you're going to have to turn around and be homeless again?
Right.
Whereas he's been doing it since 1978. That's 30 plus years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So 78. So that's 34 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't blame him. I mean, like, okay, this is what I'm accustomed to. This is my way of life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he don't have any family.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does. He's gonna visit his sons.
I mean, like, I'm saying, like, major family that he has.
Yeah, major family. Right.
That's going to take care of him. If he got an apartment, I mean, that's not going to work for him. So for him to say, okay, look, I just think it's an interesting story that sounds funny at the same time. But, I don't fault the guy. And then, you know, he said, hey, he admitted. He said, I know some more people, because the news is going to spread, people won't approach me, so I'm just going to give it away. And he's saying that also, he's not going to even put his life in danger, because, hey, if you're going to come, you know, I got the money here, take it.
Yeah.
So hey, there it is. Yeah, I don't fault you, guy. Go ahead, do your thing. Now, let's move on. Okay. You know what? I'm going to say this for last. I'm going to say this one for last. Okay. I'm torn between the two, because I have two left. I'm torn between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Okay, let's go to the audience. Okay. Audience, for this one, the Russian man who allegedly shut up this foot up his friend's butt and killed him, should I go for that one, or should I read the one, extreme kidnapping is a business? Number one, is it number one?
Okay. My bad.
Or is it extreme kidnapping? Should I go for that one first? Ladies, they have spoken.
They have spoken.
Okay, not just the ladies, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, check this out. Extreme kidnapping. Detroit business.
You
want to
offend nobody.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to offend anybody in the crowd.
Exactly. Extreme kidnapping. Detroit businessman run by Adam Thicke and sells a consensual abduction video. Check this out. If you got a couple of hundred bucks to burn, and then maybe it's time for you to check out the Detroit businessman, Detroit business that promised to give you a thrill of a life, a real life abduction. Check this out. That's right. In a city with more than its fair share of true crime, the founder of Extreme Kidnapping is looking for customers to pay him to be kidnapped. Yes. Mm. This service caters to the extreme sports adventurer who is bored with what's currently available. This takes it to a whole nother level. I'm skipping lines here. Says entrepreneur Adam Thicke, a.k.a. in the rap world, as Mr. Skrillin. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. However, if you don't feel like you're really being kidnapped and your life is in danger, then we're not doing our job. Extreme kidnapping had a low profile for years until a GQ writer signed on to get shanghaied and merrily recalled his night in captivity. Now, check this out. For $1,500, Drew was handcuffed, duct taped, soap, slap, and zap with a stun gun and more by Thick, a convicted counterfeiter, and his henchmen. Mm. There mm. are more economic experiences available that might appeal to shoppers who are cautious about passing a night in a dingy basement. Thick customizes each abduction, and unlike old-fashioned kidnapping, an extreme therapy hostage has the ability to call off the goons and abort the torture at any moment by uttering a pre-selected safe word. As a memento, all customers get a video of willingly being held against their will. Mm. The Michael Douglas, and you know what? And I was going to say this before I got down to it, because there's a film called The Game, and they refer mm-hmm. to it in the story by Michael Douglas. They said it provided them ideal for kidnapping. And basically, let me finish this. The company's motto might as well be, it should be against the law to have this much fun.
Mm.
What happens, and if then they have a video on here, which is crazy. But however, what in the movie The Game, you can choose a lifestyle, and pretty much you end up being assaulted and all kind of crazy stuff. And you don't know if I can remember. I haven't seen it in so long. What happens, I think the guy doesn't really know it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going through these steps. It's an incredible, it's a good movie. It's incredible. But however, this extreme kidnapping is not incredible. Because I'm from Detroit. And mm-hmm. I don't want to be part of, what if somebody say, okay, I want to work for this company, but I want to do this for real. You know what I mean? So you're going to pay me to do this for real, and I'm not going to videotape this. So now, I done got $1,500. I kidnapped you. I'm going to ditch you somewhere. I got paid. I'm going to quit this job, and I'm going to move out. You know what I mean? But
yes.
Not me personally, but you know that's what a criminal would think. They're going to think of a way to get into this company and manipulate it. I think highly unsafe. Why would you want to be kidnapped? Who?
I've heard of extreme cases. I mean, you kind of mentioned it too, but I've heard extreme cases of writers and directors and stuff who need inspiration. They want to do a film, or they want to do a book, or they want to do something, but they need it to be real in order for them. Or even actors who put themselves in some kind of danger to where they can experience and relive it and display it to an audience to where it's like a perfect acting. You know, example, it's not the same as being kidnapped, but Heath Ledger, everybody knows his iconic role as the Joker. They say going into that part, he was taking all kind of drugs, not like like pills and stuff, taking drugs. He wasn't sleeping. There was some things they say he was doing to get in the character. They say even how he was acting before to get in the character, it was just so horrific to the point of like you would thought he was the Joker for real, and he did that so he can have this iconic role displayed. So just going along with it, why some people would do it, I can understand it kind of sort of, I don't commend it, but I can understand it in the entertainment industry when you want that authentic display of I'm not acting, I really do this really happened to me. You can't tell the difference between me as an actor and my actual character. So that is the only example I can think of why somebody would want to get kidnapped.
Mhm. That's insane. I don't know.
You're really stupid. However you put it.
Yeah, I still don't want to.
When you were reading, I was thinking to myself, like, imagine if I was to go talk to him, like, I want to get kidnapped. They're like, okay, what would you like? Would you like eye gouge? That would be $500 for eye gouge. We can use duct tape. Or we can use electrical tape. Are you allergic to duct tape? Because we do have scotch tape. Like, what?
Tasers. I mean, I don't mind. Wow. Now,
for $100, we'll taser you.
for an extra $100 going to tase you. Wow. Now, check this out. This is crazy. It's a sad story at the same time. Now, Russian man allegedly shoves foot up rectum of friend, killing him. Unconfirmed report. And this was posted on the 5th of this month. A horrific crime or hoax. A news video has surfaced about a Russian man allegedly shoving his foot up a friend's rectum, killing him. Yes.
Hold on, wait. Let me regroup. Give me a second. Give me a second. Oh, my God. That is, I've heard some sad deaths before, you know, like, oh, this guy fell off a building, or, but I put up the rectum? And it's, oh, God. Okay, I'm back. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's okay, and so it's cool. Now, the report in Russian claims that 28-year-old Vladimir. Why did his name always have to be Vladimir? That's just weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't pronounce the rest of his name. But however, he was attacked in a drunken rage last month, as the victim Sergey slept. Now, the two had argued earlier over a girl. Sergey died of internal bleeding. Police said in the clip, now Krasnov, who is in jail at the moment, interviewed, is in a jailhouse interview, seemed to blame alcohol for his act. Faces up to 15 years in prison for the homicide if convicted. Okay. Now, the English subtitled video was posted on YouTube April 3rd. Now, the original clip without subtitles was also posted on YouTube March 22nd by what appears to be a Russian news outlet. However, a healthy dose of skepticism might be in order because a quick search in Krillik returned and no other stories about the incident. So they're saying the incident may not be true, but it still is reported. Now, the nature of the assault proved irresistible to some English language sites, of course, you know, Huffington Post, etc. Now, what do you think? Is it real or made up? I can't really show you the video online. You know what I mean? I can't really show you the video talking to you. I haven't looked at the video, but however, the story is weird. That's all I wanted to bring to you. And I'm going to tell you what, the ideal is horrific.
Yes.
It sounds painful. If it is true, I'm so sorry for that family. If it's false, that's just the crazy. Yeah, you know, that's a bad joke. That's no good. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The weird,
like, who does that? You take, like, really though, like, say if it was real, I can't imagine, like, I'm going to kill you with my foot in your butt. What? Like, I'm going to kick you so hard that my foot slips down there. Like,
yeah. I'm gonna tell you like this: when alcohol is involved, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and they did say in drunken rage. So, not saying like the most craziest things that's impossible, but some of these things, hey, it's possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, you in a drunken rage. Come on, man. I mean, like. First of all, wow! I just wow. I mean, that takes the new meaning to I'm going to kick your butt.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're going to do now? We're going to get into the poetry spot because we haven't been here in a while. So, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Covenant Cafe, we're going to get into the poetry spot, man. And here comes that lady, man. And that intro is really fun. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. This is the Poetry Spot.
This is the Poetry Spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe, taping down the tongue, and speaking new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked mind. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me. This is the Poetry Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Poetry Spot. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And there's a couple of things, actually, I would like to get into here on the Poetry Spot. We do have a song by Poetic Lace, Assassination, which is freaking phenomenal. And then we have another song, Trip Lee featuring Lecrae, that dude is on fire. Now, I also have, of course, I know you may have a piece, or you want to make sure, would you like to just go into the song?
We can go into the song.
Okay, and then also I do have a piece from my favorite site. I have to save my favorite site because I did not write this. It's called Hotel Could Be You, written by Inspirational Poems on www.inspirational-poems.net. This is not written by me or Poetic. This is off of this site. And it says Hotel Can Be You. I read it before, and I vaguely remember, I think I read it to you guys before. We're going to revisit it. So, hey, here it is. One rainy night many years ago, an elderly man and his wife entered the lobby of a small hotel in Philadelphia. Trying to get out of the storm, the couple reached the front desk hoping to get some shelter for the night. Could you possibly give us a room here? The husband asked. The clerk, a friendly man with a winning smile, looked at the couple and explained that there were three conventions in town. All of our rooms are taken, the clerk said. But I can't send a nice couple like you out into the rain at 1 o'clock in the morning. Would you perhaps be willing to sleep in my room? Isn't it not exactly a suite? But it will be good enough to make you folks comfortable for the night. When the couple declined, the young man pressed on. Don't worry about me. I'll make out just fine, the clerk told him. So the couple agreed. As he paid his bill the next morning, the elderly man said to the clerk, "You are the kind of manager who should be the boss of the best hotel in the United States. Maybe someday I'll build one for you." The clerk looked at them and smiled. The three of them had a good laugh. As they drove away, the elderly couple agreed that the helpful clerk was indeed exceptional, as finding people who are both friendly and helpful isn't easy. 2 years passed. The clerk had almost forgotten the incident when he received a letter from the old man. It recalled that stormy night and enclosed a round trip ticket to New York, asking the young man to pay them a visit. The old man met him in New York and led them to the corner of Fifth Avenue and 34th Street. He then pointed to a great new building there, a palace of reddish stone with turrets and watchtowers thrusting up to the sky. That, said the older man, is the hotel I have just built for you to manage. You must be joking, the young man said. I can assure you I am not, said the older man, a sly smile playing around his mouth. The older man's name was William Waldorf Astor, and the magnificent structure was the original Waldorf Astoria Hotel. The young clerk who became its first manager was George C. Bolt. The young clerk never foresaw the turn of events that would lead him to become the manager of the world's most glamorous hotels. The Bible says that we are not to turn our back on those who are in need, for we might be entertaining angels.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Can you say wow? I'm not going to say wow. I'm going to say amen. I mean, how many times have we been entertained in that manner? I know I am very guilty of not giving every person a dollar every time I enter 7-Eleven here in Portsmouth, Virginia. Because there are a lot of 7-Elevens around here, and there are a lot of situations where a guy or a girl come up and say, hey, you got a dollar? You know, my car's stalled across the street. And I simply, you know, decline. At the same time, maybe I shouldn't be declining. Because I don't, you don't know. You know what I mean? I may have a dollar on me, true, but I don't know. You know, but I do, you know, after I read that earlier, you know, I looked at myself and I said, you know what, I need to change my way of thinking because I can be truly helping somebody or I can't be truly helping somebody, but that's not for me to judge.
Right. That's true.
So I'm
like I said before on that topic, you know, more so if it's like a concern, it's like deep in your heart, like, you know what, giving my money to them may do something with them. And there's nothing wrong with asking. So when a guy, like all the time, when a homeless person or somebody comes up to me and I know, okay, something's a little off, I ask. You know, one guy I asked, like, he said, can you use some money? And I asked him, like, oh, okay, well, what do you need it for? I just wanted to buy some beer and get some cigarettes. You know, he cursed and get some cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I commend any, so sorry, I can't give you that. I'm sorry. Can't give you money because I don't want to endorse it. You know what I mean? So there's nothing wrong with asking because it's like I don't want to feed a habit. But at the same time, you're 100% right. Like, at least give the time of day. Because I ran into a brother earlier today who needed money, and he needed it for to catch the bus. And I didn't get a chance to ask. I really just gave him the money because he went ahead and said it. He's like, I'm late for a bus. I really need to ride. And I'm like, oh, no, no problem. So, you know, definitely, you're right. You know, we should give the time of day because you never know. Never know.
You don't. And I'm not going to say in front. And like I said, you know, there are people, the people that's holding the dollar, like, yes, I give money. Every time I see a person that comes up to me and they say, hey, I can't figure out why did my voice change. But however, you know, I'm not going to front and say every time somebody come up to me, I give them a dollar. There are times I do, and there are more times that I don't. To be honest, there are more times that I don't do it than I do it.
That's real. That is real. I ain't even denying that myself.
But I need to actually incorporate that into my life where I ask and say, hey, what are you going to use it for?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If it's for that reason, then I want to be like, okay, no, I can't. No, I can't do that. But if he or she would say, hey, my car stole, this, that, and the third, you know, here, I'll give it to him. And that's my word. I that's my word. I'm going to do that. Definitely. Now, before we actually get into your song, I know last week, you know, we kind of highlighted the things that's coming up with me. But however, you have a lot of stuff on your plate right now. Can you inform our listeners of the things that you can inform them about?
Well, like you said, like what I can, some things are still confidential, but I'm actually out of town. I had a business meeting with a record company. The talks are it's pretty good. Things are pretty good. So I may be possibly signing with a label very soon. I have 10 business days to make the decision. So by the next show, I more than likely will have a decision made, and I will definitely share with you guys what you have to look forward to. A new project. I'm going to be getting ready to launch a new single and a new video, brand new. Everything is outside of When Silence Falls. You're going to see the new me, what God has going on with that. There's also going to be a music video for Out of My Mind, which is getting ready to drop, which is a crazy track that I'm featured on. The movie that I'm also in, which is called Running, which is directed by Jerry Derry. It's an independent film by Good Seeds Films. That will be releasing very soon. I actually got a copy of the rough draft and the final production stage now. But God is awesome. God is doing some great things. So definitely the big event is that I will be signing with a record company, and we get ready for the new project. Get ready for the new project, which is Through the Fire, the new single. I'm not telling yet, but it's going to hit hard. So we got to go some doors, and it's time to take even more territory. So that is definitely what's on the horizon. Just what I can say right now.
All right, there it is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into Assassination, and then right behind that, we're going to go straight into Trip Lee featuring Lecrae. So we got two songs back-to-back, so sit back and enjoy approximately 7 to 8 minutes or 9 minutes of pure fire here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
All right, sit back and enjoy.
This just in. Down in Jacksonville, Florida, there's been a shooting at the God First Election. Alleged victim, 23-year-old Poetic Lace, was shot at multiple times. Witness say they don't know where the shots came from, but they think Poetic knew this was going to happen. His message wasn't, I have a dream, but of equal importance. Over to you.
It's war time. I got my mind on the fight, and I'm fucking blind. I'm using faith as my leverage. I don't need to deny. Listen as the guns ring. It's time for change. I would die for the crack that you can maintain. There goes my death with some bullets and cracks. All of them flying fast, straight ripping my chest. They want my head. I give them water instead. Christ bled. So I ain't making my bed. I'm a fight for everything that's right. So I reach to my left for my weapon made for test. But first, let's get back to my murderous death. As I lay with blood dripping from my mouth, I repent for my sins, so I wind up down south. The bullets came cause it's God first I seen. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Assassination, I would die for the door. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, let me rip sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, let me rip sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's a rap. Shot at me, they murdered me, man, I can't see. Ski mask on top of the towers, busting in the sleeves. Was it the way I walk, or the way I talk? I think it's vocals, I'm the one that's line with y'all. Before I die, they ask me where my heart lies. It's kind of funny, cause they don't want it televised. I'm listening to these rappers and they out there telling lies. I guess anything just to be a capitalized. I ain't the type to do the criticize. But it's the lyrics doing the paralyzed. They say they trapping, but they actually in the booth. In the streets, say that they act like I'm missing too. Lies in the same, and it's a prophesied. Say anything just for a career rise. Kids imitating rappers cause it sounds good. But it's really chopping lies like an actual would. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, let me rip sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, let me put a sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's a rap. Shed a tear, I'm in a better place. I fought the good fight, my life wasn't waste. I kept running non-stop, got it in the race. The Trinity plus me, equal for the glass. Every time I heard a gunshot, I thought about how a life stops.
physically, spiritually, or mentally. We're all slaves of the mind, hypothetically. Worried about the way you look, the way you dress, just to have another human impressed. So stressed for what? You're so blessed. Complaining so much, I wonder how you get dressed. Before I died, I kept my Bible on me, cotton ready. But some scriptures that the devil chopping like confetti. I knew I died because the words that I spit. But before the flat line, I sent minutes to the pit. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left.
More on the story at 11.
Yes, sir. You know I'm good, right? Let's go, Biz.
Troubles coming for me, death is at my doorway. Fear says I'm a perish, bro, but that ain't what my Lord say. He said I ain't guilty, though I still ain't had my court date. Tasted and I've seen them even though it's just a foretaste.
I don't know what they feeling, I don't know what they thinking. Bro, my soul's invincible like Mario when he's blanking. Hey, they see me full of joy like I don't know what he's drinking. Cuppers full of living water, bro, I sip in and thank him. Yes, sir, might not win a Grammy, or get another Stella, but I get rewards from my Lord, it ain't nothing better. I might not chart again, I might not sell a million, but I've been purchased by my King, he's forever with me. So what they talking about? No, they can't knock me down. Yes, sir, I do feel pain, but Jesus got me now. That's why I'm making noise, that's why I'm running hard. That's why I go gorilla, spitting the monkey paws.
Partner, you know I'm good to go. Pressure creates diamonds and fire and fire to go. Ain't nothing on this planet is satisfying my soul. I'm living for tomorrow, today is out of control. For sure,
I'm good. Take out my money.
I'm good.
Here comes the pain.
I'm good.
Yeah, they can kill me.
I'm good.
Get that game.
I'm good.
I ain't seen if we don't feel any pain. I'm the same. You can't take us out of the game. Cause homie, we
do. I've been through the fire. I survived all the blood. And them riders that's with me, they all covered in blood. Drag my name through the mud. They can hate, they can gossip, but my passion for Jesus, they ain't never gonna stop it. I was dead, I guess that made me better than I ever was. Look at me, I'm good, partner, I'm on my forever bug. If everything I have is taken, I can take it. They say I never make it, I know the person who made it. My life is hidden in them, so when I die, I gain. And Jesus really be walking with me, so how I'm lame. My life full of pain, problems and such, but I'm focused on forever and eternity's touch. While the world try to fight me, Pharisees try to stone me. I am Tebow in the fourth quarter, they can't hold me. Yeah, the Lord is my coach, got me off in the zone. Tell my mama that I'm good when he carry me home. I'm good.
I know you know I'm good to go. Pressure creates diamonds and fire and fire to go. Ain't nothing on this planet to satisfy my soul. I'm living for tomorrow, today is out of control.
I know that I'ma suffer that alone, it makes me tougher. Death is just a doorway to take me to my faithful lover. The lover of my soul's with me. You can shake the brother, but you never knock me down and take the under. Bring the thunder. Let the storm come to hide us and hurt us. They can't take our Lord from us, bro. He got us the verdict. Not guilt, not guilt. He's with us and he stays present. He never leaves me. He even gives me stage presence.
Partner, you know I'm good to go. Pressure creates diamonds and fire and fire to go. Ain't nothing on this planet to satisfy my soul. I'm living for tomorrow. Today is out of control. For sure.
I'm good.
Take out my money.
I'm good.
Here comes the pain.
I'm good.
Yeah, they can kill me.
I'm good.
Get that game.
I'm good.
I ain't seen and we don't feel any pain. I'm the same. You can't take us out the game. Cause homie, we good.
Wow.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And you mean to tell me, you mean to tell me that Lace is not on the same level as, as these cats right here? Come on. I'm just saying. You guys need to, get with the program. But that's good, man. There's some exciting things going on with actually both of us, you know, and it's affecting both areas. So,
right.
Yeah, so you guys, you know, you're locked into the right area. Because Lace is burning up. So, I mean, like, I looked at your hits on one of your videos. It was like 50,000, 50,000?
Yeah, they're taking off, man. I looked up and one video I didn't expect that was going to be that popular, that 70,000. So it's just, it's really a hard, a hard fight, hard grind. And, marketing, I've been learning the game more and stuff.
I do have a question now. Is your marketing team pushing the video or is it just getting plays like that?
Honestly, I don't have a team. It's really been me venturing into different marketing strategies as far as, like, I might say a little contest to help me by the end of this month. This is my goal. I need you guys to help me, just share the video, watch the video, share the video, just constantly tweeting, Facebooking, promoting. Also, reaching out to different promoters on Twitter and Facebook, like, okay, I'll pay you $5 if you can promote my video for a whole week. Reach out to your fan base, reach out to your followers. This is my goal. I want to hit 20,000. Help me hit 20,000. I want to hit 20,000 on all my videos. You know what I mean? So really stepping outside of the box of marketing, because in marketing is you are at your strongest with a team. So, like, don't ever let anybody, I'm talking to you listeners, don't ever let anybody fool you by saying they're self-made and they did this all by themselves. It is nearly impossible to do that. And don't have a marketing team, but I have a strong support system of people behind me that is just willing to support me, whether it be by the music or listen or, even just mention me here and there. So also on top of that, I just really reached out to a lot of different people that's doing their thing in the marketing business, period. So where it's like, okay, this is who I'm a gospel artist, can you tell me some strategies on what do you do for marketing? And they talked about doing contests for your followers. And also some of them said you can reach out to some people on Twitter. They'll tweet your thing for a week for $5. $10, $20, they'll do different things like that. So I reached out to those who were willing to promote me and whatever. And then after a while, I stopped. I really did it one time. And then once I reached a goal, like I had a goal of 20,000. One of my goals was like, help me get 20,000. So I'm reaching out to different people to get 20,000. Once the first video hit 20,000, I noticed that it's already like, once you hit a certain number, you start popping up on everybody's feeds. So once it hit 20,000, like I said, and you guys, since my video is just popping up, people are just watching it now because of the number count, and then it just increases from there. And on top of that, it's I'm not a shy person when it comes down to contacting. So I'm all over different people. Like, people have blogs about me, as far as, like, I've done interviews with so many blog talk radio shows and so many websites, and every time I drop a video, I'm emailing every contact, everybody that's in the Christian market, everybody that's in the secular market. So I'm emailing everybody, I got a new video, check it out. I would love it. And it don't matter how big or small the person is. It can be a person that only got 100 people that support him. All right, man, can you put my web, all right, this is a new video, I'll give you an interview, and hey, this is my new video. They watch the video, they like the video, they put the video on their site, they interview me, and now that's 100 people. And if one of those people in the 100 that follows them, they just so happen to have 10,000 followers, then boom, they're promoting it to their followers. So it's just a chain reaction, and especially when you're putting out something that's godly and inspirational, it's hard really to knock it. Everything that I put out so far, glory to God, is more on the positive end. So it's like, how can you knock it when, man, this man is telling me to keep my head up? Like, why wouldn't I want to at least put it on my website? That's the whole thing about communication. Communication is very powerful. When you just ask somebody or just write, I wrote so many users despise of writing people and telling them, this is what I'm about, and I ask that you give me any pointers so we can go further. And people do it for free.
Now, how did you find these guys? And I'm asking for myself because, I have my short film. Of course, I have a trailer to my short film, and I'm going to be doing a feature film this summer. How can I find these individuals to push my film, my short film that I did a couple of years ago, because what I'm going to be doing is pushing my old film and let people know, okay, I have a new one coming out, which is a feature. Now, how do I find these guys that's doing this for $5, $10? I mean,
it is. And you know what's so funny about it? It is one of the easiest things, and people don't even know it. It's social media has dominated stardom. To be honest with you, like you go viral overnight, and you're a celebrity, and you just did one commercial by acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Social media. So what I said, this is something that I do. Twitter. I go on Twitter. Twitter, perfect example. I go on Twitter. You go to the search engine. And I just type in submit video, submit music video, submit music. And it pops up everybody that's requesting you to submit your music, everybody that's promoting. Search engines are big. You know, people, I don't know, it's like when I, because it's just something I randomly did. Like, you know what, if I can type in, say, for example, I type in Lil Wayne and all these people that got Lil Wayne name pops up, even if they just tweet Lil Wayne's name, they pop up. So I'm like, well, how what else could pop up? So promote my video, type it in the search engine, and you'll see who has stuff, who's saying, okay, I will promote your video for this, or my team of promoters would do this, you know what I mean, or even submit my video. And I normally, for the most part, honestly, I steer towards the free area, because it's so much people that's willing to do things for free. We just don't know it, because a lot of people understand that I'm trying to get my business started, but I need artists, or I need film directors, I need some kind of film, I need people that wouldn't mind allow me to display their stuff on my site, because they have a following and their following will come to my site. It's the barter system. So definitely Twitter, Facebook, search engine on Facebook too. People don't know that. Facebook search engine, type it in, like promotion, whatever it is that you're looking for people to do, type it in and you will see that. Google, type it in, you will see that. Like, that's just where it starts. And every time it's always somebody new doing something. Some promoters I can think of off top, Big Seven, I believe they'll tweet you for a week for $7 to $10, something like that. I haven't really worked with them. They're very popular because their following is, you know, like 100,000 plus, and you got a lot of blog talk radios and stuff like even that. By you got people on other radio shows, example like us. Like if somebody reached out to me, bro, can you please just mention my name on your show? And you do that, possibly your followers will hear it and they might want to support it, or whatever, or even people that's interviewed on here. You remember last week, a guy interviewed on the show, and a pastor called in, and he said, yeah, we're getting some venues in Atlanta. You know, keep your head up, we get you up here. So just every single market that you can hit is so important. Every market, every website, look at for websites that, like example, I wish I had talked to you earlier this week, but it's kind of not in your category anyway, though. But up in Oregon, you know, neither one of us are in Oregon currently, but up in Oregon, they're having this film festival, and all you had to do was submit your stuff, submit a video. So I was getting ready to submit my music video, and I looked at what they were looking for. They were looking for, I mean, it was an all-white festival, Caucasian festival for, and they were looking for, like, the country folk kind of video. So, of course, I didn't submit it, nor was I able to promote to anybody to submit to. But these kind of things are going on where it's like you submit it to these art festivals that's going on in these small towns, and small town that has only 5,000 people and everybody goes to these festivals, you got 5,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Because everybody either are talking about it. It's a word about town.
People just looking at it.
Yeah. Not even that you might get the 5,000 views that's displayed, but you get the 5,000 people to actually watch it at these festivals or whatever it may be. So, you know, my advice to you really is take advantage of everything that you have for free before you go to, you know, before you start paying. So Twitter, free, it's free. Facebook is free. Type in your search engine, reach out to people. On top of that, I'm not a fan of doing, now people do it and it's a great thing, and I need to learn how to start doing it more. Like people that just stay on their news feeds and stay on Twitter and they just can't constantly look. I don't like doing it. But every now and then, I periodically might check my Twitter feed, I'll check my Facebook just to see what's going on in my news feed, because I do follow some business people follow me. So if they tweet something like, such and such is looking for an artist to promote, here's the email. So I email them. And once I email them, even after talking, because the thing about it is, I've said this before, that God's favor is worth more than money. It's always worth more than money. Favor takes you way farther than money can, Because, example, I've been in the game for like 2 years, and I have not made like $100,000 or nothing like that. Almost 2 years, and I have not made $100,000 this and that. But I'm getting opportunities that are far greater than the money. You know what I mean? My God's favor over my life has taken me further than somebody who's been in this game for 10 years, and they have made almost like $3,000 or whatever you want to say. But it's like, so basically what I'm saying is that you have God's favor, you got God's design, God has shown you what you need, how you need to do, like what your craft is. Because you have that favor, it teaches you that you have character. Talking to people changes. So, example, this one guy, the Roy is the truth. Like, he is awesome. He is awesome on graphic designs. He does Trail Entertainment, Lil Boosie, and Lil Webby stuff. And he charges like anywhere from $300 to $1,000 of graphic designs. I talk with him, we've got this conversing, and he's finding out what I'm doing, what I'm about, and why am I doing it. He ends up doing my website for $100.
Wow.
So favor had exceeded the money. And then I have other people who, man, bro, I'll promote you for free. And they charge other people $30 to $50 per tweet because of that they have a high demand. So what I'm saying is that once you put it in, when you really secure in God's hands like that, and you really just communicate and show your light and really be of love and just, you know, really talk to people about it, it takes you much further than what dollars can. It takes you much further than what experience can as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
The communication, like I said, is very big. So Lamont, you know,
yeah,
basically,
exactly.
Reach out.
I just did the search. I did submit films for free,
mm-hmm.
and I got a couple interesting things here. Submit links, watch free movies. That one we sort of submit documentary films online, festivals. Yeah. So I see what you're saying.
And it changes daily. So that's that's what the separating point is, how consistent you are, because it changes every single day.
Now,
every
that
day
was just on a regular fee. I'd have to do my Twitter and Facebook, and I'll see how what comes up with that.
I believe you'll have more. In my opinion, from me, my experience, Twitter has given me way more hits, because Twitter is millions of people around the world. So I have submitted my videos to Spain, people in Spain, as well as people in all over Europe and people all over the United States, North America, and South America. So it's like it's daily updating. So you can reach a fan base that, you know, years ago we couldn't do this.
Absolutely.
You know, if you were in the United States, it's how much noise you were making in your city and expanding to the region and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and, you know, you can be one man and have your video played across the entire world. It's all about getting it out there, though. You know, and it's a gear grind. You know, I really tell people, real talk, don't just create a video and put it on YouTube and think you're done, because nobody's not going to see it. And that's just the honest truth. You got to really be consistent, reach out to people, have other people doing it, you know, all kind of stuff. And keep grinding with it. Keep grinding with it. The creating part, honestly, is the easiest part. I've learned that now. I thought that was a tough part, editing it. Nah, it's really the marketing.
Yeah.
That's why it's, even in the entertainment business, it's 7, they say it's 90% or 90% business, 10% talent. That's why everybody's sliding into the industry. Because it's really the business, the communication, the character, how are you talking, what are you doing, who do you know kind of thing. So that's why you reach out and connect all these bridges.
Wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now we have about 4 to 5 minutes left, and that's definitely good information that I'm going to use as well as pass that on to other people that I know.
Most definitely.
Now we need to get into the words of advice, the words to live by for this week. What do we have?
It actually, ironically, it all ties in what we were just talking about just now about this communication and really pushing. This scripture, it comes from John 6, give me a second, let me see. John 6, 64, that's where we start. Okay, but this is Jesus talking. But there are some of you who do not believe, period. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, who would betray him, who did not believe him, and who would betray him. It's funny. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that you cannot come to me unless you have been granted lest it has been granted to him by my Father. Okay, period. And this is what I want y'all to key on. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So looking at this from our Lord and Savior, like Jesus is saying some radical, some true, some real talk stuff. He has a goal. He has a desire that the Father has given him. This is what he has to do. A lot of times in our walk, we're going to have goals, desires, the things that God is putting us that we're supposed to do. Now, mind you, he has something to do. But in the scripture that I just read y'all, it said that many people stopped following when that day and they followed him no more. So there'll be times in your journey that you're going to come across something that seems it's a harsh reality that you have to deal with, and people don't want to deal with it with you, and they stop walking with you. But if you continue out the entire Bible, you see that Jesus made it all the way to the cross. And then he rose with all power. So what I'm encouraging is that whatever these bumps and stuff in the road, or even not having a team, or everything that you go through in this walk on your goal, you press forward even if people stop pressing with you.
Mm-hmm.
You find ways to get your goal accomplished. Jesus pressed forward, and he still had his 12 disciples. And he, even though he knew what Judas was going to do to him, yet he still pressed. And he allowed Judas to be in him because, remember, people are going to hate, but you still love. Judas betrayed him, but he still loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that you press this week, no matter what it takes, in a godly manner. All right, don't get wicked on me, y'all. But whatever it takes to keep pressing, you just keep pressing. You keep holding on, because God does not give us gifts and talents in vain. It's our character that wipes out the gift. So we got to continue to press for and also keep the character of God.
And also, I know we have like about 2 minutes left. I'd like to add, how can I say this? Pray on your decision making as well.
Amen.
If you have something to deal with, and you know you have a hard time dealing with it, pray about it. Because actually, I got 90 seconds to say this. I had a situation that I had to deal with today, dealing with communication. Typically, I get easily frustrated when I talk to this individual, knowing the background and whatnot. But, however, you know, I prayed about it, and I prayed for a sound mind, no matter what I hear, you know, and deal with it, say what's on my mind without being upset, and it happened. You know what I mean? So make sure you guys do that. You know, pray over your decision making, because that's a big thing there. Huge.
Good stuff.
Huge.
Wish we had more time.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the last part of our show. Thanks for tuning in. This is Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And you have been listening to the Covenant Cafe. This is the last part of our outro. Whatever, our first part of the outro. You probably hear about 30 seconds of it. But here we go.
Forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show. Feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the hosts. From the east to the west, we broadcast coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We repping Jesus Christ, yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live, so I'm steady boasting.